I don't want this to sound as if I'm
it's supposed to sound exactly the way you don't want it to sound. You want to know everything about you.
Yeah, I want your voices in on this too, are they?
They're in there somewhat.
It's about you.
Well, I know, honey, but I don't want to sound as if I'm boasting.
I said. We want exactly what you think boasting. You don't want to be. That's exactly right.
Oh. Well, I was very active in the Hilltop Garden Club, which was actually the first Jewish garden club formed in the city, and. It was a delightful, it was a perfectly delightful club to belong to. One of my very interesting assignments, jobs I should say, was being chosen chairman of a pharmaceutical garden in Schenley Park. Mrs. Goldsmith, who was president at the time, Laura Goldsmith. Have you ever heard of Laura Goldsmith?
No.
She was a remarkable woman. And Helen Aronson formed the club, I should say that. Names escape me. Well, Helen Aronson was one of the inspirational forces of the club. And when I was chosen to, when I was asked to become chairman of this pharmaceutical garden, Mrs. Goldsmith was president. She went to the School of Pharmacy at the University of Pittsburgh and asked them if they would be interested in herbs. If we grew herbs with the students, be interested in studying them. We were allotted a little plot in Schenley Park, and I became chairman. That to me was one of the outstanding jobs I've had. I worked with the students, the pharmaceutical students at the university. They would use all of our seeds in the fall. When the plants had reached maturity, they would come and use everything. And we kept that garden going until it became publicly known and vandalism ruined the whole project. But that was one of the outstanding jobs that I held.
How long did this job take?
I think I had it for about 3 years. Three summers, with the supervision of course, of Mrs. Goldsmith, who was president at the time.
Could you tell us what other projects you did for your garden clubs?
Other projects? In 1933, I was chairman of a Purim carnival at the Y. In those days, through the efforts of the late Florence Reisenstein and Leona Davis, the women's organization at the Y functioned very well, as a matter of fact. And I was chairman. I was chairman of the Purim Carnival, the second Purim Carnival they had, and that was the year. That was either 1933 or 34. I can't remember. That was the year that the banks closed. A moratorium was declared. And I hope I don't have my dates conflicted. Well, anyhow, the banks were closed, and we had this extravagant carnival with all kind with everything that takes place in a carnival, you know. But fortunately, it was a success. People came, and it was successful. in spite of the difficult times in those days.
How do you think the act of participation in different organizations influenced your children?
I mean, my participation?
Or your husband's and your husband's participation?
I don't know. You mustn't forget that they were young children. They were away at school. And I don't know whether it influenced them or not. Our home, discussions at home and various subjects probably influenced them, although at the time we didn't know it.
When you say they were away at school, did they go to boarding schools?
Alvin went to Shadyside. He didn't board, of course. Mm-hmm. Leora went to Winchester. They weren't in boarding school, but they were mm-hmm. involved in their schoolwork. And then of course, they went away to school.
Are your children's families active in organizations today?
My children's family.
Or your children?
Yes. Alvin is very active.
Could you tell us what he does?
Alvin Rogel? He does just about everything.
Oh, God, round one. Could you tell us now?
He's active in everything, civic, Jewish and civic. He really is.
How many grandchildren do you have?
Three.
Give us their names, their ages.
And Andy Rogel, Jimmy Rogel, Leslie Holzer, and I have two great-grandchildren.
How old are your great-grandchildren?
Seven and three.
Do your grandchildren and great-grandchildren, do they live in Pittsburgh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Do you see them often?
Oh, yes, I see them. I spend every Saturday with my great-grandchildren, every Saturday morning.
What do you do with them?
You actually want to know what
yes,
I do with them?
Yes.
Well, I go out there Saturday morning, and we're very friendly, actually. The older one will play the piano for me. She'll have a little concert ready. And before that, and then I help my granddaughter a little. And then we go to lunch. Would you like to know where we go to lunch?
Sure.
McDonald's.
I think that's great.
We go to McDonald's for lunch. And then by that time, I'm exhausted and I can't.
How were you and your husband involved with the World War II effort?
Oh, my dear. Well, of course, the Y became very much involved in the World War II effort.
How?
There were servicemen stationed here. They were stationed in Stanley Park, I believe. And my husband was instrumental in establishing a Sunday morning brunch for these servicemen who would come in every Sunday morning and get a free brunch and sit around and chat and flirt and actually have a great time. I would go down every Saturday morning, every Sunday morning, and my daughter would go down. And we would help make pancakes and serve these men, these servicemen. Of course, that went on as long as the soldiers were stationed here.
How did the Depression affect you and your family?
I had the kind of a husband who sheltered us from the Depression. It was during the Depression years that I decided to send Alvin to Shadyside. I took him out of public school and sent him to a private school.
What public school was he attending at that time?
Whiteman.
Why did you decide to take him out of Whiteman and send him to Shadyside?
I felt he would, his background would be better, education-wise. I don't think it's important enough to go into my criticism at the time of the public school system. I felt that private school would get much more.
Could you possibly tell us why what your criticism was of public schools?
I might get into trouble.
No, you wouldn't get into trouble.
Well, I felt the atmosphere, although I understand it doesn't exist today, I felt the atmosphere of Alderdice, where he would eventually have gone, of course, was just not the one I wanted him involved with at the time. It was a little rough. The school was big, and I didn't think he would get the type of education that I wanted him to have. And that's why.
Where did your son...
And same with my daughter.
Did your son and daughter go to college?
Alvin, yes. My son went to Cornell, and my daughter went to Edgewood Park. It's a two-year college. She went to Winchester and Edgewood Park.
What were your attitudes towards Prohibition?
I never even thought about it.
You know your husband's attitudes were?
I don't think... I don't think it was ever discussed, actually.
What religious institutions did you and your husband belong to?
Temple.
Which temple?
Rosh Hashanah. We belong to the Tree of Life, where my son was bar mitzvah. And then when they started going to... And then we also belonged to Rosh Hashanah.
Did you and your husband observe most of the religious holidays?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yes, indeed.
So religion played an important part in your life with your children?
We didn't stress it. We stressed background, Jewishness, responsibility, so far as the Jew is concerned. But we didn't stress organized religion too much.
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community?
How do I view Pittsburgh's Jewish life in its... Read that again.
How do you view Pittsburgh's Jewish life and its place in the general community?
I think the Jewish life in Pittsburgh is remarkable. I think it's productive. I think the young people are involved, and I think it's great.
Are you still involved with any organizations today?
I just pay dues.
Mm-hmm. How do you?
I do little jobs, mm-hmm. not big jobs.
Like what kind of little jobs?
Oh, I solicit every once in a while. But that's about it.
How do you view your accomplishments and your successes and failures?
How do I view them? Well, I've made mistakes. I'm perfectly satisfied with my life. There have been vicissitudes, there have been troublesome times, gay times. I'm very much worried about conditions as they exist today. I'm worried about the future of young people, and I just hope that...
What worries you about the future of young people?
The way all... energy, pollution. I'm worried about the same things that I think bright young people are worried about. Those are the things that count today, I think.
Could you contrast Pittsburgh today with Pittsburgh yesterday? Today is to when you were first married. Socially or culturally, politically?
Oh, I think culturally it's grown. Politically, I know very little about. I'm not too much interested in politics. I think Pittsburgh is a beautiful city. It's far more beautiful than it was when I first came here. And I think Pittsburgh should be appreciated by Pittsburgh because it has developed into a beautiful city.
Anything else you would like to add, Mr. Centerlip?
I think you two girls are adorable.
Thank you.
That's all I can tell you.
We think you are, too.
Is there any other question you would like to ask? You know, I made a few little notes here. I don't know whether I covered them all or not.
Let's see.
My own notes.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
I talk too much about myself. Yes,
no, you didn't.
We want
to know about you. Maybe in X number of years, somebody will come, hopefully, and want to know about us because we'll have made so many wonderful contributions.
I'm sure they will.
The Hilltop Garden Club, when was that? You didn't mention. You just said that you were...
When was it formed,
yeah.
Honey?
Do you remember approximately?
Approximately in 19... Oh, I would say maybe 19... Now, don't hold me to the date.
No, but just to have some...
About 1954.
Okay. I didn't even know that there was a Jewish garden club.
Really? That was the first Jewish garden club.
I didn't even realize that. I always associated the garden club not with the Jewish
really?
Club.
Really? Yeah. As a matter of fact, this garden club made quite a mark for itself back in those days. We made important contributions to the Garden Center, to the city, like this herb garden.
This is fascinating.
Many of the pharmaceutical students would come down there and study these plants.
And when you said about the vandalism,
vandalism started. The first thing that happened was we had a marvelous fig tree that was sent to us, planted in this herb garden. And I noticed one day when I went down there to inspect, I'd go down there almost every day, the fig tree was gone, and then from that time on, they stepped all over the place.
Before that, say in the 30s and the 40s, was there anything, was vandalism? Or anything like that?
If there was, we weren't aware of it. No, we weren't aware of it. No. Not in those days. You can't compare those days to these days. I mean, no one was afraid to take a walk after dinner. Almost any place.
Didn't people visit more frequently than now? Wasn't it sort of a...
Yes, people would get together, play bridge.
I mean, they still do, but it's just
People would drop in more frequently, drop into each other's home, just drop in without calling and saying and making a date.
What about the Jewish families? Does it seem as if you were closer then because of that? There weren't movies really, and it wasn't television.
Well, there were movies.
When were the silent movies? What years did they have the movies? When did that start?
Oh, well, I can't tell you when it started.
Do you remember?
Sure I went to silent movies, of course.
I'm sorry. I'm going to probably get
That's
my
hard.
Head chewed
for that. No, you won't get your head chewed. Of course I remember silent movies. Listen, we're going back many, many years. And we enjoyed them. We enjoyed them very much.
Oh.
10 cents a movie.
Incredible. Absolutely incredible. Well, Mrs. Rogow, you are one heck of a woman.
Aren't you a dear? You a dear? Wait, I go back to my notes and see what. If I can read them. Yeah, I told you about the Purim Carnival and the Dasa Donor Luncheon. That was in 1937, yeah. My White House reception.
Mm. That's fascinating.
Oh, that was fascinating. A meeting with the Roosevelts. That was extremely fascinating. That's it.
Oh, I wish I could say that.
I'm sure you can. I'm sure you will.
Hopefully.
Of course, Mr. Rogan, I did a lot of traveling in my days.
Where did you travel?
We went to Israel in 1950.
Oh.
That was our first trip to Israel.
How many trips did you take to Israel?
Three.
When was your last trip to Israel?
1965. And he passed away about 10 days after we returned. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been to Israel?
No, not.
Well, this is an experience you must obey yourself.
Oh, I want to see
that. You just have to. Even if you go as a traveler, as a tourist, not being involved, you'll never, it's incredible.
Where else did you, Mr. Rogow, travel?
Far East, Europe.
Did you make many trips to these places?
No, we were in Europe a couple of times. Mm-hmm. But we were in the Far East, Hong Kong, Japan. so hot there, but I can't remember that anymore. But those are all good memories. I remember my first plane trip. My first distant plane trip. We had berths on the plane. Berths on the plane. Yeah. When we went to the Far East, yeah.
What year was that?
1960. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 1960. You know, you ask me these dates, and I'm amazed that I can come up with them.
I thought about that.
I'm amazed that I can come up with them. I think I'm accurate. I'm not sure, but I think so.
You started coming up in 1933, just incredible.
Well, there's certain things you,
of course, these are
always remember, you know. Always. Well, you're both darling girls, and I think you're very, very bright, honey. You're very bright to come up with these questions and interview us.